From the bayous in Louisiana to the timber country up north, you'll find them out on the trap line chasing furs to put up on the board. Mixing up another batch of that magical stuff, chilling around the fire after the show. Hey, it's Sarah and Jeff, and maybe a guest on the Trappin' Radio.
Welcome to Trapping Radio. I know it's been a minute since we have posted, but we have been busy just trapping. And we are sitting in Arkansas right now, just wrapping up a trapping trip with our really good friends, Liz and Carl, with Razorback Snares. And so the trailer's loaded, and we only have to pack our clothes. So me and Liz just decided to sit down and have a little chat. We'll do a little podcast, just a little chit-chat back and forth. Liz has been on the show before, and I think it was just a year ago on the show, we sat down and in the buggy and talked about trapping. So we were just reminiscing about that and thought we would hop on and do another, just a quick show for you guys. The boys are waiting to go to some seafood shack for dinner.
Yes.
So we are dinner is between us finishing this up and then leaving. So,
yes.
But anyway, it's good for them to wait on us.
That's right. They're being kind. They're not rushing. So they're humoring us.
Yep.
But well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for sitting down. I know we put in long days, and long days turned into a couple long weeks, and here we are wrapping it up. And
it's very surreal.
Yeah, it seems like we just got here, and here we are loading the thing up again. But it's been fun here. It's a new property for y'all, and new property for us, and a mix of everything.
Yes, most definitely.
Yep. So you guys are in the business of making snares. If we have any new followers on here, you want to talk a little bit about Razorback Snares?
Well, we started it about 3 years ago, 3 to 4 years ago. Time runs together these days, but we started doing it at our kitchen bar, just the two of us. It gave us something to do together, so to this day, we're still doing it at our kitchen bar, and the rest of our house is Razorback Snares too. So, we're empty nesters now, and the kids are gone and grown, and, I've been around trapping for 40 plus years, but, just really, really took an interest in it after the kids have been gone. And it gives Carl and I something to do together. So he is a plethora of information and good information. And he's taught me a lot. He's taught me from making snares all the way, all the components. And he's also taught me how to load the snares and how to set the snares and then catching the animal in the snares. So it's been very interesting. And then I've also started, I would say trapping. I've started doing foothold traps. Mm-hmm. And he could tell me all day how to set foothold traps, but I really didn't completely understand it until I actually got down there and did it.
Till you got dirty.
I got my hands dirty. Yes, I did.
Well, I think your story resonates with a lot of other people. Especially, you know, I just got a message on my phone. The gist of it was she has chickens, and she has raccoons and coyotes eating her chickens. And she sent me a message, said she's known her friends that have trapped, and they have all passed on, and she would like to learn how to trap them, and what advice did I have for her? And similar to kind of your story, in the fact that even though you've been around it and you have an interest in it and you support it and you want to learn how to do it, what would you think just the first step in doing, like just doing it? I mean, I guess that's kind of where I'm coming from, is what you said, you didn't get better until you actually got your hands dirty.
Just get your hands dirty, get down there and, mm-hmm. and do it. Whether the set looks good or not, you've got to start at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's kind of where you were at the beginning, because we trapped last year together, and you were comfortable with all the equipment.
Yes.
And then this year, compared to last year, this year you're like, you know, you had your shit together. You got off the buggy and you had that set in and done in no time.
I jumped off when it was still moving. And the only difference is nowadays I have a kneeling pad that I kneel on. So
what do you think got you from last year to this year? You know, the need.
Actually getting down there and doing it.
Mm-hmm. And you kind of, you know, Carl, you mentioned you and Carl trapped together a lot, but his knees were bothering him.
Yes.
Where before, you were kind of the partner that got the trapping bag, you got the shovel, you got the drill, you got everything for Carl when he got down into the... He did a lot of it. And you were kind of the get this...
Yes.
type of thing.
Yes.
And so then his knees start bothering him, and he says, well, you know, you're gonna have to make the set.
Or he says, you're gonna have to help me, you know. And I was the person, he would get down there and he would actually dig in the dirt and make the set, get it ready, and I would give him all the equipment. And I set a few last year, and my confidence was not as good as it is this year. I still have trouble with location, mm-hmm. as far as finding just the right location, but I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
But my advice to people who are starting out would just be, get in there and get your hands dirty and start
mm-hmm.
somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Because you can watch videos on how to bed a trap.
Correct.
And how to bed it solid.
Correct.
But until you get down there and make multiple sets, you don't know really what that means to bed a trap solid.
Correct.
And essentially what that means is you have no movement in the trap when it's in the ground. If that coyote comes up to that and steps anywhere on that trap is not moving until...
If it gives, then that coyote's going to back off.
Right.
It's just like if you step on a board that's loose, you're going to back off of it.
Sure.
So, yes, the extremely important, one of the most important things is to bed your trap solidly.
Mm-hmm.
So I have learned that.
Yeah. I did notice you are really good at blending in your set. You want to talk a little bit about kind of your blended sets, because you do them just so perfectly in various different types of ground. I mean, grass, sand, dirt.
Well, I appreciate that. I enjoy doing blended sets, but I do get nervous because when you do blended sets, you basically cut a hole and turn it upside down and put it in the sifter or put it to the side, because you if you're in green grass, you want to keep it a green grassy area once you get that trap bedded solidly and in the ground. And then what I do is I'll take green grass and I have a pair of scissors and I'll just clip it once I get the trap solid, and I put peat moss in the middle of our trap. And then we have foam pads that we put underneath the pan, and then we put the peat moss on top of it, and then I start cutting grass and I put it on the top. So I really enjoy doing blended sets. It makes me a little bit more nervous than doing a messy dirt hole set, mm-hmm. where I can just do whatever and the dirt can go wherever. But both gets the same result. You know, hopefully it will get a coyote or a large animal of some sort.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not kidding. When you do that blended set, we drive by, and if I didn't see the hole, and sometimes you just use a log.
Yes.
You know, and I don't even know where your sets are even at. They're so blended in. But I thought that was different. I mean, because everybody traps different. I mean, I don't carry a pair of scissors in my bag. And that's something that you do. And so, you know, we can all learn from different ways of doing things.
But it's fun to trap around different people. I will say that, because you learn how each person does their traps. And so you gain a lot of knowledge, and then you can make your own little, system,
mm-hmm.
whatever works for you. And take a little bit of information from here and here and here. Carl is a wealth of information. He's taught me a whole lot, mm-hmm. As far as, solid bedding, and as far as doing the sets and what set is called what, and so mm-hmm. I have fun.
So even if somebody didn't have green grass in the example that you talked about, what are some other blended type sets that you've done that maybe are, you know, that you can blend in, or even like out maybe out in the field, the bean stubble, you know, I guess you can make a blended set in any type of ground,
right?
But what would be the importance of, you know...
You just want it to match the surrounding areas is what you want it to do. If your set is in a green patch, then you need to pull green grass from somewhere and make sure that you have green, the color green, on, you know, in your trapping area, bedding area. If you're going to do it in a white dead grass type setting, then same. You need to have the white bedding, the white grass on top of it. It just needs to blend.
Sure. I think that's super important.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look like an alien drop something out of the sky and there it is, you know.
And it's funny that we're talking about this, because we've joked and kidded about, don't run over my set. You see my set? And it's hard to see the blended sets. Even for me, I have to look. I know I said it here. Where is it? Oh, there it is. So I enjoy doing all of them. I enjoy the messy dirt holes too.
Mm. Do you have anything specific on a dirt hole if somebody doesn't know what a dirt hole is, or kind of the importance of it, or what do you like about it, or what?
I like that it's messy and gaudy. We do ours on, I mean, you can do them anywhere, but we do them a lot of the time on the side of the roads. You can even do it out in the middle of a field. You can do it where the crops change. You can do a messy dirt hole out there. And it's something that just attracts the coyotes to it. You know, they see all this dirt pushed out. And
so what are you using for your dirt hole? An auger?
Yes.
A shovel?
No, we use an auger. We have a drill, and then we have an auger on it. And we just dig the hole with that and then put the bait down in it. If we have, and then we put, I guess, the bait and lure,
mm-hmm.
in it. We put a combination of the two in there. And then I just bed my trap in solidly and then sift the dirt over it. And then once I get through doing that, then I'll kick it out, kick the dirt out into the road or the grass or wherever, mm-hmm. you know.
For some extra eye appeal.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Something that attracts them.
Sure.
So I enjoy that. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy being outdoors, and I enjoy trapping with friends, and mm-hmm. it's just a wonderful way of life. Mm-hmm. It's stressful, but not stressful.
Yes.
We call it our crazy life.
Yep.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
Mm-hmm. So you have trapped a lot in this rain. I mean, you guys have been just pounded with rain.
Yes.
At your last job, you had multiple days of heavy, heavy, heavy rain. We had rain here. Kind of, how do you handle the rain type situations? I mean, you're using peat moss. I mean, yes. And so use that for the rain.
We let it. It's better. It still, of course, rains on the sets, but the sets will still work when you bed it in peat moss.
Okay.
And then we put the padding underneath it, so that's an added. I don't know what the word is, feature or added help to keep that trap working. Mm-hmm. And then we have to wait it out until mm-hmm. it dries out. We've been very lucky. A couple of the properties that we have trapped on, they tend to dry out pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, then we'll go by and of course check the traps. And if we need to set them off and then reset them, then we do that.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, how do you go back after the rain? How do you manage your line after the rain?
We just go back and we go back through all of our sets, just give them a quick check. If they look like they're still working and they're not packed in, then we just rebait them. We definitely rebait everything after the rain has gone. Mm-hmm. Come and gone, and then if they need to be redone, then we just set the trap off, and then we get down and we go through the whole process again, mm-hmm. and we just rebed it and redo everything. Yeah. So it doesn't happen that way all the time, thank goodness, but on some of them it does. And then if there's a lot of people on the property that are coming and going, that's tough too, because a lot of your sets get run over, and we've had a lot of traps broken and mangled, and so that's frustrating, but it's part of it. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yep. Yeah, I know when we and just looking ahead at the weather and trying to plan things out. You know, when we first got here, we said, okay, you know, it's going to be raining in 3 days. We need to spend as much time as we can getting these coyote sets out.
Yes.
And so kind of prioritizing, you know, what sets you're going to put out and how you want them to work for you the quickest. And, yes. you know, order of an importance as far as that. So we put all the coyote sets out. We did as many as we could.
Yes.
For 2 solid days, that's all we did was coyote sets. And it was really hard to pass up good looking beaver sets. And yes. so we even passed, we couldn't help ourselves on some of the raccoon trails.
That's true.
We had to put something in.
It's quick to put a DP in or mm-hmm. something like that. So you can do those when you're on the way to setting the coyote sets. But yeah, you have to look at the weather. That's a major determining factor as to what traps you put in first, mm-hmm. and to utilize the best of the time you have before it does rain, before the weather does change. So
at least on the foothold side of things, you know, that's how we ran this trip in particular, was get the footholds in, and then we went back through and we added more DPs. And then we went back through and had all the beaver stuff in. And
we did.
But talking a little bit about snaring, you know, I know you guys at your last job did a lot of snaring.
We did.
Kind of, what do you look for? What do you focus on? Or, you know, I know you snared some hogs, right?
You want to tell us about your hog story?
Oh my goodness. We have so many hog stories.
I know, but you got a big one. You got a really big hog this year.
We did. We caught, I think, the granddaddy of all the hogs. And it was funny because we didn't even know we had caught it for a day. We kept going by the snares. We had the hog snare set up, and it was down by a huge tree, in front of a huge tree. And anyway, the hog was caught, but it just looked like the bottom part of the tree. The tree was good size.
Yeah, that's right.
And it looked like it was part of the tree. And we finally walked down there and went, oh my goodness. And it had gotten wrapped around some saplings, mm-hmm. and it had gray on it. It had gray on it, mm-hmm. and I've never seen a hog with gray on it. There's been all kinds of hogs that we've come in contact with, but this one had a lot of gray in it, so it had been around for quite uh-huh. some time.
Yeah.
It was a huge, it was over 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. Well over 300 pounds.
I bet that takes some anchoring. I bet there's been a learning curve in how to anchor.
Yes.
The snares and...
Yes. You definitely can't use earth anchors for hog snaring, but we use extension cables, sometimes two extension cables, and then you have to, when you're securing the extension cables around a tree, we do it not up very high, but up above the ground because we need it where that tree will have some give to it, mm-hmm. where, you know, a sapling
flex or
it will have
where
more
it'll
flex.
Move a little bit, that
correct.
Tree, yeah, move back. So it's not like you're not looking for a solid tree, a big sturdy tree, something,
no.
something solid. You want something movey.
You want something that has some give to it. Yes. That won't break, but it will move as the hog moves because hogs, they have a great force when they're running and trying
lunging,
to get out.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's always exciting. Hog snaring is one of my favorite things to do. I have many favorites, but mm-hmm. hog snaring is very exciting.
So if somebody is just starting out snaring, what are some of the lessons or some of the tips or tricks? If you're just starting out snaring, what are the basic things that you need to know or that you've learned or maybe when you first started snaring versus now you know now, whether it's anchoring, blocking, guiding, picking the spot?
It's all the above.
Yeah.
Picking the spot. When it comes to beaver snaring, you want to pick a spot where the slides are active. Are muddied down, have beaver prints, beaver footprints in them, and that you can tell that they're sliding up or down, and it's very active. So,
where do you put that beaver snare on that slide?
On the run.
Yeah, where's your location at?
It depends on how the slide is, how at an angle it is.
So are you putting it closer to the water or up on the bank or in the middle or just
We put it closer to the water, kind of in between the top of the bank and the water. Sometimes we even put it down in the water.
Mm-hmm.
We do trap them in the water. But we have to use it. We have to use extension cables in those cases.
Mm-hmm. And then extension cable
off to the side.
Off to the side.
Onto a solid ground, a solid place to put it.
So then you're using a wolf fang or an earth anchor.
Correct.
Kind of up, maybe, like you said, on solid ground.
Correct.
That's super important.
Yes. Very important. Yeah. Very important. And sometimes we anchor it to the side versus maybe at the top of the run. So they tend not to die unless they get entangled.
Mm.
And so sometimes we'll put it to the side where they can move to the side versus staying in the run itself mm-hmm. and destroying the run. Mm-hmm. So we can, it could be a possible remake.
Sure. I remember one day here at camp, you came back in and you said, "We only had one slight meltdown today." And I said, "What was the meltdown about?"
I don't remember saying that, but please.
It was when you set that beaver snare up in the water.
Uh-huh.
And so you said, you were like, "Oh, I had to go out in the water today. And it's this lake that's super muddy. You can't even see the bottom. It's so muddy."
Oh, yes.
And so you had to take
all this your... This was a couple weeks ago. This was not even 2 weeks ago, everybody. This is...
But, I mean, I've never even seen this type of setup.
Well, this is a setup that Carl does on all the time. And he's done videos on it, but I have never set it up.
Mm-hmm.
Or rare... If I have not personally set it up, I've gone with him to set it up.
Yeah.
Anyway, I set this up all by myself. And he said, "Just go out in the water to that tree, and you're going to take the extension cable with you." And this is, he was walking me through me doing it myself.
Yeah, because his boots had a hole in them, so he sends you out.
Yes, yes. His boots, he tore the halfway up on his boots, so he couldn't go out into the water. So I had boots that did not leak, so I got to be the lucky one. But it taught me.
About the setup and what you learned. What was the setup?
Oh my goodness. We didn't use a snare support. What we did was used wire, and we wrapped it around the tree. Well, he got the wire ready for me, and what he does is he probably does about a, depending on the size of the tree, about a 4 foot piece of wire, and then he doubles it over.
Okay.
And then I take the nippers out there and wrap it around the tree, and then you take the nippers and you twist it.
To get it tight around the tree.
Okay.
And then what?
And then you have a snare support.
Okay, so you got
anchored to the tree,
4 inches sticking out.
Correct.
Or whatever. And correct. Then that's your support.
And that's the support so I could anchor the snare to put the snare on it. And I have a fear of walking out in the water and accidentally all of a sudden, you know, you're walking a foot in the water and then you hit a 5 foot hole.
Yeah, because I mean, you can't. This is muddy, muddy, muddy.
It's a very, it's very
muddy water.
Very, and very muddy.
Typically,
water.
When I go out, I've got a beaver rod with me. So, because I'm always setting rods, I rarely yes. do it. So, I can feel how deep
I
it
did
is.
Not.
And you had nothing. Your hands were full. And Liz can be clumsy all on her own.
I am so clumsy.
Yeah.
And so, what I was doing was I was inching out. You know, and feeling my way basically out to the tree. And Carl was like, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I don't want to step into a hole." So I was stressed out just going out there by myself to do it.
Okay, so you have the snare support. Then yes. you had your beaver snare.
Yes.
So you cable extensioned your beaver snare to that same tree, right?
To another tree. There was another sapling.
And then what'd you do? You put lure, maybe?
I took our lure and I put it, there was a V in one of the branches on the tree, and I just set it up there. I just put it on a stick and then I smeared it on there.
So then you just stuck the snare off of the support.
Correct.
In hopes that that beaver, well, it actually, the next day there was a beaver there.
There was.
But the beaver would smell that lure and circle that tree trying to find that lure.
Correct.
And then as the beaver circled, got into that snare.
Yes.
And there you have the setup.
I also took a stick and we kind of, as guiding, I took a stick and put it on the other side of the snare.
Okay, so just kind of center them up to go straight through that snare.
Correct. So it was just a st- stressful instance for me, and I came back and ranted to Sarah. I love it. I got it done.
And it made it even more sweet because the next day the beaver was there.
It was. Yeah. It was. And I was so excited. I was hooping and hollering.
Yeah, that was cool.
And Carl was very excited for me.
Well, I think you made a point about snaring in general with blocking and guiding and centering the animal up on any run, whether you're snaring beaver, coyote, hogs, raccoons.
You want to make sure that the snare is centered in the trail, and then from there out, from the snare out on both sides if needed, then you take what you're given as far as sticks or bamboo or whatever you have available to you, and then you kind of do blocking on the outside part of the snare, mm-hmm. and so it guides them through the snare, mm-hmm. is what it does.
Yep. And then anchoring the snare. And like you mentioned, the hogs, you've got to be on a flexible tree with a beaver. You got to be on solid ground versus down by the water. Coyotes, they can use an earth anchor on solid ground too. But it's so easy to go out there and set the snare up, and then it's like, okay, how are we going to anchor this? So that's so important.
That's a challenge sometimes, mm-hmm. but it's fun to try to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, cool. What else you got for beginner tips and tricks? I'm just so proud of you, Liz. I mean, the confidence that you bring this year versus last year on going out and making the sets and setting everything up. And, you know, Carl's now he's the one getting the extra dirt. He's the one bringing the bag and all this. And I just love the fact that you just get right down in there.
We've reversed the roles.
And get after it. Yep.
Well, for anybody that's intimidated by it, there are so many how-to videos out there. I know that we do a lot of videos on our Razorback Snares Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And if there's any questions that anybody has for us, or any videos that they're interested in us doing, then we can get those mm-hmm. done for them, I'm sure.
I mean, and not only the trapping confidence you have, I mean, you're the one that's building these snares. I mean, videos that snaring to me is still complicated to me. I still don't know the difference between a 564 cable and a 1x19. I don't know any of this stuff. You know, so it's
564 1x19 or 7x7 3/32.
See, I don't know any of this stuff. But to your videos, you do post a lot of videos on, okay, this is the type of cable that you want to use for this animal, and this is, you know, and you guys can customize that for anybody.
Yes, we do a lot of custom orders, and each state is different. You know, you need to know what your state's regulations are, requirements are, as far as snaring, what components you have to have on them. There's a plethora of different kinds of snares that we make. When we first got into this, I was thinking, okay, it's coyote snaring, beaver snaring, you know, mm-hmm. hog snaring. And then you get into the smaller animals, fox, cat, and all that. But there are so many different requirements for different states that it's really gotten into a custom order type thing. Mm-hmm. And some people like versus... you know, the standard pigtails that we have, some people want 7-foot pigtails, you know.
Sure. And what is a pigtail if somebody doesn't know what that is?
Well, we call the snare itself the business end. That's the end that actually captures the animal. The pigtail is what is attached to the end of that snare, and that is what you put your earth anchor onto, and you bed your earth anchor in the ground, or that's what you put your extension cable onto.
Sure. Okay.
And you secure it to an object, or put it on a drag, or you know, whatever the case may be. But it's an extension of the snare, the pigtail is, but it's not the, as we say, business end.
Sure. So, and then what you're saying is you can customize however long somebody wants that to be.
Correct.
Just like us with Texas, our little pigtails were 6 inches or something.
Yes. They had little bitty pigtails. Yep. Very easy to make the fence snares.
Well, that's cool. So anybody can call you, even if you don't know anything about snares, you know, like I do. I don't know much about them, but as long as I can call you and say, okay, I'm going to Texas, I need a fence snare for bobcats.
Tell me what I need.
And you've got that handled. You know, I don't have to worry about what that is or what the best kind of cable is. You guys just, you recommend it, and you know, we just go with what you recommend. You do give us lots of options, you know.
Yes.
There's different options on locks.
Yes.
On the cable side of things and the pigtail lengths and stuff. So whatever anybody's looking for with snaring, you've got it covered.
Yeah.
You can do just about anything.
We can get it done for you. So, you know, and we tell people, even if you have a question, you know, even if you're a seasoned trapper or a seasoned snareman, you know, even if you have a question, just give us a call and we'll be glad to answer them.
And you also make like earth anchors and cable extensions and things like that too.
We do. Yep. We do. And we can make them whatever size. We've had lots of different orders for different length extension cables. And we do make the Berkshire stake in earth anchors, and then we also make the Wolf Fang earth anchors. So we got those two.
Cool. Well, I suppose those guys are probably getting hungry.
They probably are, if they're not already snacking.
Yep. Well, thanks so much, Liz, for sitting down and kind of going through some of this. And like I said, I'm just so proud of you as a trapper, proud to be your friend, and
thankful. I'm happy to be your friend.
Yeah, thankful that you invited us down to this beautiful place, and
we always enjoy y'all coming.
Yeah,
we always enjoy, especially Five of them. Yeah, you know, this other property that we do, we just really really enjoy.
Yep.
We enjoy trapping with you anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, even you put up with Jeff and all of his.
He likes to razz me.
Oh, he's bad with you.
The thing is, now it's not just Jeff. Sarah and Carl don't razz me, but they laugh.
Oh.
They love laughing. I can't help.
Some of the things I can't help.
It's a sign of good friendship. We really enjoy their company. We enjoy trapping with them.
Yeah.
And y'all are wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful friends.
Likewise, yep. So, okay. Well, shall we get on down the road?
That sounds good.
All right.